When we manufacture goods in Pennsylvania, we do it in a way that is environmentally responsible. We could lead the world in responsible manufacturing. In fact, I would argue we are leading the world in responsible manufacturing. But in order to really make the most of it, we need to leverage our natural gas industries and our energy industries and reindustrialize Pennsylvania. That's a reality that could come true if we had sound policy coming from the governor.
By the way, did you know, why are we not energy dominant? Welcome back to By the Way, Did You Know? And today I have somebody who I can't believe I've not had on the podcast before, one of my best friends in Harrisburg. I think he would say the same about me, who is somebody who we came in together. He is now in leadership. He's really a force in our caucus. And, you know, when we talk about some of the things that are going on in Harrisburg, I thought it'd be good to have the chairman of our House Republican Policy Committee, Chairman Josh Kale.
Thank you, Tor.
Yeah.
Thank you. By the way, I did not know that I was the only member of leadership not to be on your show so far.
Yeah,
so.
Well, there's a reason for that. Yeah. So Chairman Kale is pretty good at making fun of me, and we have some fun.
Well, let me tell you, you've hurt my one feeling.
Yeah. So in any event, you know, we've been in Harrisburg here listening to the governor propose all kinds of ideas, and this week was no different with him proposing an idea where he's flip-flopped again on an issue that he promised in the campaign, and that's the energy tax. We've talked about REGI in the past here, which is the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which is essentially an energy tax, a carbon tax on ratepayers. And now this week, the governor's come out with a new plan, his idea, to basically, you know, redefine what REGI is. It's REGI again. It's an energy tax again. But the governor has now tried to call it a new name.
Yeah, so this is how I categorize it in my own mind. It's remarkable. The good news is that we would be getting out of the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which is Tom Wolf's energy tax. The bad news is we'd be entering in the Josh Shapiro's energy tax, which is actually much worse than the previous energy tax. Look, what we are doing when you really boil it down is adding cost to generators. What that really means is we're adding cost to consumers. So when you open up your electricity bill, it is going to increase. And on top of that, you're going to be paying more for a worse product. You're going to be paying more for electricity that's not going to be as reliable. I'm telling you now, and other people should know this, we are going to have blackouts because of these types of policies. These types of policies go in, we're going to end up with blackouts like you see in places like California, like the situation that had occurred in Texas a couple of years ago. They will be happening in Pennsylvania. It may not be this year, it may not be next, but years beyond that, it will be. And it's not just me saying that, by the way.
We had a policy hearing on it where we had stakeholders, someone from PGM was there and said, this is coming.
It's coming, and it's going to cause serious consequences. And what the electorate and what people out there need to know, what our neighbors need to know, is why this is coming. And it's coming because of Democrat energy policies, in particular in this situation because of Josh Shapiro's energy policy. That is the reason why we're going to be experiencing this. And what's so tragic about this is we live in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Since the inception of the energy industry, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has been the center of it. Whether it was coal, whether it was natural gas, whether it was oil in the early days, the Drake Well that's in Oil City. You know, that all was here before it was in places like Indiana and then Oklahoma and then Texas and then California. And it still is here with the Marcellus Shell. And the gas that we have under us. We have such abundance in energy. We could supply clean energy to our neighboring states, to our allies across the globe, if we got serious about our energy policy. And that's not just speaking figuratively or in vagaries. There's real points that we could be delivering on, like getting out of the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, like reforming how we permit in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, tax reform so that people will want to invest in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. These issues issues are not new issues. These are things that people have been talking about. These are things that the governor campaigned on. Things so we know that we have broad consensus for, but we don't have the will to actually move the Commonwealth forward. Instead, what we are doing is we are enriching entities that invest in places like China, and we're buying goods from overseas, increasing China pollution, and then using it here and paying more and getting less. It makes zero sense on any front. It does not make environmental sense. It does not make sense for our consumers, for our electric bills, and it does not make sense for our jobs, which out in my neck of the woods is a big deal in the energy industries.
Yeah, and I should have said, you know, Chairman Kao is from Western PA, you know, the kind of the heart of where a lot of this is. His district benefits greatly from it from a jobs perspective. But this affects every single Pennsylvanian by rates. And, I mean, make no mistake, if something like this goes into place, which is why it's an energy tax, make no mistake, every single ratepayer is going to feel this.
Every single ratepayer across the board, from my grandmother who lives on a fixed income to large manufacturers who are going to see an increase in their electric bill. And their electric bill in manufacturing is either the top cost or the second cost across the board. We wonder why states like Ohio, and the governor keeps saying, I hate losing to Ohio. Well, this is why we lose to Ohio. It's not that complicated. In Ohio, you can get a permit in 10 to 20 days. Here in Pennsylvania, you know what? It might take 2 years, 3 years, sometimes more. In Ohio, there is no energy tax. There is no regional greenhouse gas initiative. There is no artificially inflating energy prices, which is what we are doing with these taxes. So manufacturers want to go to a place where they can get something done, get it done efficiently, and build. And build they are. And reshoring manufacturing is a big national strategic security issue.
Yeah.
And it's been that way for the last number of years. And we can't take advantage of it because Pennsylvania's policies are just regressive.
American energy independence is crucial to our national security. And Pennsylvania can be at the seat of the, can be at the top of that that food chain. I mean, we can be the leader in this nation when it comes to energy policy. And there's this false narrative that you talk about all the time that you can be pro energy. If you're pro energy, you're anti environment.
Yeah.
And that's just a false narrative that exists. I mean, you've talked about when we're talking about energy, you know, solar and all this other stuff. Guess where that's coming from?
Yeah.
Guess where that's manufactured? In places where, in China, right, that
yep.
use coal. There's yep. no regulation. It's literally Chinese communist energy that's producing these types of.
Yeah, and so 2 points on the manufacturing front and what you're saying. You're absolutely right. But you mentioned energy independence. I'm actually a supporter. I think we ought to be energy dominant so that our allies don't have to be dependent on people in Russia
sure.
or other places like that. But being independent from a manufacturing standpoint is just as important as being energy independent. I mean, when you're talking about 80 to 90% of the chips, computer chips, coming from an island that's just off the coast of China, and that island's being threatened now, that's a real problem. And that's not just a national security issue, but it obviously is a massive national security issue. It's also a major commerce issue. And that's just one instance. Our petrochemical industries, we're getting a lot of our plastics from overseas. Our pharmaceutical industries, we're getting a lot of our pharmaceuticals from overseas. What happens if there's a conflict? And we go into some conflict, God forbid, with a place like China, and they're the ones making all these goods. We should be reshoring it here in Pennsylvania. But doing so isn't just good for our national security. It's not just good for our jobs. And it's not just good for our consumers. It's also good for our environment. There was a CNN article that I saw last night, actually this morning, that noted the top 10 dirtiest cities in the world are in China.
Imagine
they're
that.
In China. Why do you think?
Because they're using coal.
Because we're increasing their demand for manufacturing.
Yeah.
Because we're sending all of our jobs to China, and they're just polluting without any regard for the environment. Now, the last time I checked, we're living on the same planet as China. And whether it's burned there or burned here, is not any difference for us. It's carbon emissions on the globe. However, it is different. And the reason it's different is because when we manufacture goods in Pennsylvania, we do it in a way that is environmentally responsible. We could lead the world in responsible manufacturing. In fact, I would argue we are leading the world in responsible manufacturing. But in order to really make the most of it, we need to leverage our natural gas industries and our energy industries and reindustrialize Pennsylvania. That's a reality that could come true if we had sound policy coming from the governor.
Absolutely. And coal and natural gas burnt here for our energy is so much cleaner than what they do in China and all these other places across the world. Like, we are using this fossil fuel that's, you know, that the governor thinks so bad in the cleanest way. It's the cleanest energy that, in fact, we have increased energy production and lowered our environmental impact
by at least 25%. And Pennsylvania's natural gas is the cleanest in the world. Not just natural gas being much cleaner than other forms, but Pennsylvania's natural gas in particular is the cleanest in the world. I use this example kind of to illustrate the carbon footprint. We talk a lot about, you know, solar panels, windmills, stuff like that. And so I'll use that as an example because it's coming, I'm sure, solar projects happening, and that's fine. We're for diversified energy portfolios. I just don't like the government dictating, because the government is often wrong and sending things to their cronies instead of actually doing what's right for their constituents. And so here's what happens with a solar panel. The origin of a solar panel is really in West Virginia, or potentially Washington County, where there's coal that comes out of the ground, and that coal gets on a train where the train has emissions, and it gets sent across the country to California or somewhere else, and then it gets loaded onto a boat. The boat has emissions. It's usually running on diesel. It goes to China. The China gets back on a train. It has emissions, the train. It goes into a generating plant with no regulations, with no filters, with nothing. And that plant generates electricity so that we can make solar panels, right? And then those solar panels, made by slave labor, mined by slave labor, then those solar panels are made there. And they get back on a train, they get shipped across China, they get back on a boat, they get shipped across the United States. That's all carbon. That's all carbon emissions. And we're calling ourselves clean? This is green energy? We must be out of our minds to take that approach. A reporter asked me the other day, is your caucus serious about climate change? And my response is, you should really be asking that to Democrats. You should be asking that about Democrats, because they might talk a certain way about it, but the actions that they do and the bills that they push and the initiatives that the governor is pushing, all we're doing is raising demand for Chinese pollution. We want cleaner air, and we can be a leader again in clean air in Pennsylvania and in energy production. So it's really a great opportunity for it's a great opportunity for the Commonwealth going forward, but there's a number of challenges and opposition to it that are really baseless, devoid of reality.
Yeah, and that's a lot of what we've heard out of the Democrat Party here is in these environmental groups, is it's just this feel-good feeling. There's no real benefit to this green movement.
They're clothing themselves in green righteousness, right? But at the end of the day, they're actually just – all it really is just taking care of certain people that are invested in these industries, and there isn't any environmental benefit. One, because the solar is so impotent in Pennsylvania, but two, the benefit is propping up certain industries, and those industries don't exist without the government involvement. And look, here's something else that I tell people, and it's something that ought to be noted. Solar isn't anything new. Solar is not a new product. Jimmy Carter put solar panels on the White House in 1977 or something.
Right.
And we still don't have the technology to use it for baseload. And so this idea that we've made such advances, we really haven't in solar, and we're basing our entire energy future on this. It's just really not a good idea. And it's what's so remarkable about it, not only is it not a good idea from that standpoint, is that we have the source of the better fuel right beneath us. It actually benefits us to use our own fuel as it is. So it's a win-win. It's a win for our jobs. It's a win for our consumers. It's a win for our national security, and it's a win for our environment.
Yeah, and you talk. We talked a little bit at the beginning of the podcast about grid reliability, and the reason we have those issues is because when you rely on just solar energy or just wind energy, it's not. It doesn't produce enough energy to drive the energy needs of the Commonwealth or America, for that matter.
Yeah, and then there's this magical Democrat energy policy that we're walking into. It's basically slow walking us off a cliff, because what we're doing is we are increasing our demand for electricity by saying that we can't even, you know, we don't even want lawnmowers anymore. We want electric lawnmowers. We don't want gas stoves anymore. It's got to be electric. We want gas furnaces anymore. It's got to be electric. So you're increasing demand, and electric cars, of course. We're subsidizing that as well at the federal level, which we ought to be letting the market dictate these things. But we're increasing our demand for electricity while at the same time decreasing our ability to generate electricity. So this is not going to end well. There's going to come a point where we're going not. What's going to end up happening one day, probably during a hot day in the summer or a really cold day in the winter, we're going to go to turn on our lights and the lights aren't going to go on. It almost happened a year ago in the winter. There's actually warnings sent out saying, hey, you might need to ration your energy supply. Like, are you kidding me? In Pennsylvania? The place where we've all this energy, you're going to send out that type of warning? Well, why are we doing that? Well, it's because of our energy policy coming from Democrats in Harrisburg. So people need to know what the consequence of the actions are. And you know, sometimes you don't realize the connections of everything. But my goodness, we're all going to feel it when you can't turn the lights on.
Yeah. And before we get out of here, I want to highlight the importance of your role in this caucus as far as what the policy committee does. I mean, what your job is to highlight these things. It's the only real committee that we can call to highlight these things. As the
you're
House
just saying that because you're the vice chair.
Ah, here we go.
So yeah, I mean, it's just that's the only reason.
Vice chair of everything, chairman of none. I know. Yeah. Well, but it's important, right? I mean, this is the way we speak in the chamber is the policy committee. So I you know, we've had some hearings already on it. I think we have some hearings coming up across the state to highlight why Governor Shapiro's energy tax is just a bad future for Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we do. We're having a series of hearings coming up starting on March 28th. And we've had hearings on energy policy because in Pennsylvania, energy matters so much. And we can't forget that energy policy is also manufacturing policy, because energy is such an important component of manufacturing. We would never have had all the mills and all the steel manufacturing in Pennsylvania if we didn't have our energy industry. We also had access to market, which we still have, and access to capital. But that combination, predominantly the energy piece of it, was absolutely essential and is why it happened. So it's not just about getting more natural gas out of the ground. It's also about future development in places outside of Western Pennsylvania. You can have developments across the entire Commonwealth because of the natural resources in Western Pennsylvania, Northeastern Western Pennsylvania.
Well, Josh, I appreciate the time. Maybe we'll get you on in 70 more episodes.
No, I'm done, I'm sure. This is it.
No, this is great.
Cutting me off.
And all you got to do is catch a hearing with Josh and I. You'll notice that we have some fun there, too. This has been By the Way, Did You Know? Tune in for all of my podcasts at repecker.com/mypodcast.